how would you explain blood to an alien visiting Earth?
That's a very good question. So blood is this liquid that circulates around through our body and through the bodies of lots of different organisms. And it gives us life. It brings the air that we need to breathe, which carries oxygen, which we need to have in our cells and our bodies. And it takes away all the waste products from those cells as well.
What is actually in human blood?
Okay. So human blood is a liquid, and the main component is the watery substance called plasma. So plasma essentially carries all of these compounds all around through our bodies, and it carries red blood cells. And the red blood cells are those red donut-shaped cells that pick up oxygen from the air and carry it to our tissues. And that also carries around platelets, and these are small fragments of cells that are involved in plugging holes that we get when we bleed, and also white blood cells. And the white blood cells are essentially there to fend off infections like viruses, and when we get the flu or a cold, the white blood cells come to fore. So within that whole liquid, there's a big mixture of all of these different compounds all working together to keep us alive.
And why do some animals have different coloured blood?
So some animals have different coloured blood because it's really where they've evolved to where they live, and they've evolved different mechanisms to carry that oxygen around the blood. So crabs and some of the crustaceans have a compound called hemocyanin, which is a blue colour. It carries copper around. The copper in that compound actually picks up oxygen and takes it to their tissues, whereas in humans we have hemoglobin in our blood, and that has iron associated with it.
Why do you think it's important to study blood?
Look, I think it's very important to study blood because, as I said, it's what gives us life. We need all of our tissues need to have energy, they need to have air, oxygen essentially to work. While blood's been something that we've known about for centuries, there's always something new that we learn. We get blood-borne diseases, we get infections in our blood, there are blood cancers. So the more that we learn, the better our long-term health will be.
What's an example of an important study in blood and how it led to new technologies in health?
One of the most exciting new developments over the past few years is a therapy for treating cancer. And it's called CAR T cell therapy. What it involves is taking some of our white blood cells, specifically the T cells in our bloodstream, which are those cells that are there to fight infection, genetically engineering those T cells so that they'll actually specifically target a tumour cell. So people with leukemia, for example, it's a blood-related disease where some of their blood cells become cancerous, and general treatment is radiation therapy or chemotherapy. With CAR T cell therapy, this is using the patient's own immune cells, manipulating those cells in a laboratory situation so that they can be then used to hone in specifically on those cancer cells and kill the cancer cells. And there's been some really quite remarkable advances in that area, particularly in the US, but there's a number of groups here in Australia as well doing some clinical studies. So that's one of the very exciting areas, I think, for the future of blood-related research.
And what could this mean for people suffering leukemia?
Well, I think in the longer term, a lot of people who would probably have died because they've been refractory to some of the more traditional treatments will survive. In fact, there's quite a number of people who've had B-cell lymphoma who are surviving from that therapy. The other thing, it's very focused, so it's a very targeted therapy, not the broad brush approach that radiation or chemotherapy is. There are some side effects, but it's really specifically related to the immune system reacting. So it's the body's using its own immune system to fight back against the cancer cells.
And can you explain the difference between the different blood types?
So the different blood types, and when we talk about blood types, most people are reasonably familiar with whether they're type O or type A or type B, or whether they've actually a positive or a negative. And what that really refers to are different molecules that are on the surface of the red cells that we have in our bodies. In reality, there's a whole bunch more of those blood types. There's about 36 different groups of blood systems. And within those systems, there's about 300 different blood types. And the importance of those is that when we do a transfusion, for example, between one particular patient from a donor, we need to match those blood types so that donor and the patient are compatible. If they're not, there can be a very serious reaction, and which ultimately could kill the patient.
So what does our blood tell us about our health?
Our blood tells us quite a lot about our health. So we need to measure the amount of red cells that we have circulating around. That tells us that we're very healthy if we've got a good proportion of red cells that can take oxygen to our body. It delivers the amount of iron. If we don't have enough iron, we can get very tired, for example. It tells us if some of those cells that I was talking about before that are circulating in the blood, if they have abnormalities in them, then that will tell us that we're sick. Blood cancers, for example, they can be picked up as well to determine whether someone, you know, has a cancer, for example. And indeed, also an infection. So we can tell whether someone's been exposed to a viral disease, hepatitis, for example. We can tell just by measuring presence of some of those markers in that person's blood.
How far away are we from synthesizing blood?
So we're not very far away from actually synthesizing blood. In fact, there are groups around the world that do synthesize blood. But having a synthetic blood on demand, which is what we at the Australian Red Cross Blood Service have, essentially donor blood essentially available on demand from our hospitals, that is quite a long way away, because once again, to try to make sure that there's a match between the donor and patient, that requires quite complex laboratory work to try to do that. And the technologies, well, I say they are available right now, the scale-up and the cost of making a synthetic blood product is still several orders of magnitude more than it is to actually have a donor, a volunteer donor, come in, provide the blood service with a donated blood sample, and then us provide that to a hospital for subsequent transfusion.